in Fruit of Activities, text 24. Yadasya chittam arteshu sameshvindriya vritti bi navragrinnati vaishangyam priyam apriyam ityuta yada when asya of the devotee chittam the mind arteshu in the sense objects sameshu same indriya vritti bi by the activities of the senses na not vigunati does perceive vaishamyam difference priyam agreeable apriyam not agreeable iti thus uta certainly translation Lord Kapila Dev is speaking to his mother Devahuti the exalted devotee's mind becomes equipoised in sensory activities and he is transcendental to that which is agreeable and not agreeable purport the significance of advancement in transcendental knowledge and detachment from material attraction is exhibited in the personality of a highly advanced devotee for him there is nothing agreeable or disagreeable because he does not act in any way for his personal sense gratification. Whatever he does, whatever he thinks, is for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead. Either in the material world or in the spiritual world, his equipoised mind is completely manifested. He can understand that in the material world there is nothing good. Everything is bad due to its being contaminated by material nature. The materialist conclusions of good and bad, immoral and immoral, are simply mental concoction or sentiment. Actually, there is nothing good in the material world. In the spiritual field, everything is absolutely good. There is no inebriety in the spiritual varieties. Because a devotee accepts everything in spiritual vision, he is equipoised. That is the symptom of his being elevated to the transcendental position. He automatically attains detachment, vairagya, then jnana, knowledge, and then actual transcendental knowledge. The conclusion is that an advanced devotee dovetails himself in the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and in that sense, he becomes qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation again. The exalted devotee's mind becomes equipoised in sensory activities, and he is transcendental to that which is agreeable and not agreeable. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Amidst these chapters of Lord Kapiladev's instruction to Devahuti, there is so much detailed knowledge of detachment from material existence. There's knowledge of mystic yoga. There's knowledge of jnana. There's talk about liberation. Amidst all this high-powered Sankhya understanding in which the whole point of analyzing is to get to devotional service. Amidst all that high-powered discussion and the huge scope of the discussion, we should not lose sight that this whole dialogue, the interaction between Lord Kapiladev and Devahuti, what preceded that interaction and what will come after that interaction, it's all about intense affection and intense relationships. It's interesting how Lord Kapiladev is talking about liberation. Indeed, Devahuti wanted to know how to become liberated. Of course, as we've heard in preceding classes, the liberation that Lord Kapiladev is ultimately presenting to Devahuti is simply to have the mind absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His service. Why do the Bhakti Shastras talk about the other kind of liberation, so-called liberation into impersonal Brahman? You have to, Sanatana Goswami explains, you have to talk about things and present their drawbacks so that people will not get into those things. In other words, you rather than simply saying, no, don't do it, it's better to explain impersonal liberation is like this, and therefore it's not really what we should be aiming for. Another reason, Sanatana Goswami gives, is that you need something, somehow, that you can compare the pleasure of devotional service to. And you can't compare it to anything in the material world. Therefore, the only thing that slightly, ever so slightly, can be held up in the far distance as having something or that gives some indication of the bliss of devotional service, that's liberation. So slight. At the same time, of course, the Bhakti Shastras, they put down liberation. But you need some currency to compare bhakti to, even though that currency is so devalued and so debased, because you can't talk about material happiness. What is that? Now, this is how sublime devotional service is, and this devotional service is what Lord Kapiladev wants to give to his mother. How did this dialogue come about? Kardama Muni wants to leave home. He's given his wife all kinds of material benefits from his yoga power, and he's also given her 9 daughters. He's practically out the door when Devahuti very lovingly implores, "How can you go now? I acknowledge that you have taken care of me so wonderfully materially, and I acknowledge that you've given 9 daughters. But there's still one thing yet that I must have before you can think about leaving. I want abhaya, fearlessness." This fearlessness that Devahuti is asking Kardama Muni for is not anything material, because anything material is naturally saturated with fear. As soon as you aspire for anything in material existence, you are also aspiring for fear. She's intelligently and humbly presenting to Kardama Muni, "Please give me some means for realizing transcendental knowledge, for realizing the cessation of material existence." After all, she points out, the 9 daughters, they'll all get married and go to the house of their husbands. What's going to be the solace for me after all the daughters are gone? But this solace that Devahuti is asking for is nothing material. She's asking for the solace of bhakti. She's wanting that solace comes in the form of a son who, after Kardama Muni leaves, that son can give her the ultimate understanding. So in this way, we can see that Devahuti obviously is quite an extraordinary person. Yet that extraordinary nature of hers is coming out in a circumstance, in a situation of complete attachment and intense emotions. She tells Kardama Muni that I've been solidly cheated by the illusory energy. Here I have this great devotee as my husband, and I was just thinking of him in an ordinary way. In other words, please rectify this situation. I was attached to you. I didn't know your full glories. Now I'm understanding the opportunity that I have due to my attachment for you. But you're leaving. So please, let's make some kind of adjustment. Besides affection, this history of Kardama Muni, Devahuti, Lord Kapildev also reveals a lot about attachment. This section of the Bhagavatam is just chock full of relationship attachment, but all that relationship attachment is going for the purpose of increased bhakti. Therefore, it's glorious. And at the end of the presentation of Lord Kapiladev and Devahuti, Maitreya, who's telling this to Vidura, says, this is the most pure of pure histories, and actually it's very confidential, the dealings between Kapiladev and Devahuti. She's always talking about attachment. First, there's attachment for her husband, and she very expertly presents to Kardama Muni that attachment for the material gets you into a lot of trouble, but attachment to the spiritual can open the path to liberation. I'm attached to you. Okay, it happened, but now let's have the real fruit of that attachment. Please make some arrangement that I can have the topmost goal of life. She's speaking very humbly, of course, explaining, we spent so many years in sense gratification, traveling around in the mystical aircraft by the grace of your mystic power. We've done all those things. Now, I'm realizing something is missing. Just as you're about to leave, I'm realizing that something is missing. Please make an adjustment. Kardama Muni is very pleased to hear his wife speak like that. And he assures her that you're going to have a son who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that son will do the necessary. That son will enlighten you in spiritual knowledge. So then, after the birth of Lord Kapiladev, Kardama Muni ask Kapiladev, can I have your permission? May I leave now? It is my desire to go and simply meditate on the Lord, free from distraction. And Lord Kapiladev indeed gives permission. And Kardama Muni circumambulates the Lord and then goes off. In the absence of Kardama Muni, now Devahuti is going to focus her full powers of attachment on her son. She's going to present herself again as someone lost in sense gratification. I'm totally sick of the disturbance of my material senses. Because of that disturbance, I'm just sunk at the bottom of material existence. You are going to be my transcendental eye. You are going to be the means for me to get out of material existence and attain the ultimate goal of life. There have been so many chapters of Lord Kapila Dev presenting knowledge to Devahuti. But then, Lord Kapila Dev is also going to leave. So you see, there's so much attachment and affection, and also there's a lot of leaving that's happening. The persons who, from the material point of view, from a pious point of view, the very persons who you think should stick around, the husband, the son, they're going. So what will happen to Devahuti? Lord Kapila Dev, before he leaves, he tells her, this process I've explained to you of bhakti, out of all the different approaches that he's described to her, he highlights bhakti and tells her, go for the bhakti, it's very easy. And if you follow my instructions perfectly, you will attain the goal. Then Lord Kapila Dev leaves, and Devahuti, she applies his instructions in her life. The attachment she has for her son becomes the greatest benediction because her son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She easily, the Bhagavatam describes, detaches herself from her opulent mansion, her wealthy circumstances, but she can't give up attachment to her son. And why should she? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's demonstrating the perfection of how to be attached. First, how to be attached to Kardama Muni, because she finally realized right before he left what his real status is. Then attachment to her son, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After his departure, the Bhagavatam describes she's lamenting like a cow who's lost her calf. Where is my son? Where is my son? Won't someone please bring my son back to me before I die? I'll die without his presence. This seems like material attachment, but actually she's attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that intensity of attachment is so great that when she leaves this world, she'll join Lord Kapila Dev on a special Vaikuntha planet, Kapila Vaikuntha, and there she'll always be in his presence. Meanwhile, Lord Kapila Dev left and wandered to the source of the Ganga, and then he followed the Ganga down to the Bay of Bengal, and there, the Bhagavatam says, he remains in trance, offering benedictions for all the conditioned souls of this world. How can there be perfection when there is attachment? Impersonalists, of course, can never understand this. The so-called happiness of impersonal Brahman is just theoretical. Actually, it doesn't exist. It's something that has been theorized and hypothesized by impersonalists, but actually there's no happiness other than in relationship with Krishna. So-called Brahman, what can it do for anyone? There's no attachment in Brahman. So how can you be attached to the Lord or his devotees? How could Devahuti be legitimately attached to Kardama Muni and Kapila Dev if there's no scope for perfect attachment? In Brahman, there's no change. No change means how can there be the ecstasies, the transformations of heart, as demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Even today, dry scholars have a hard time understanding what happened to Lord Chaitanya in the last part of his life. One British historian of the time describes that Sri Chaitanya, he said, was a great reformer. He did wonders in India, smashing down caste barriers and making everything egalitarian. But the last portion of his life, who could understand it? He lost the plot completely, and he became deranged in all kinds of strange moods and strange emotional expressions. The impersonalist view does that for you. You can't understand how there can be transformation on the perfect and pure spiritual platform. That means you can't understand how the heart melts. And what is the point to life if the heart is not melting? When Lord Chaitanya was at the house of Advaitacharya, after having been tricked by Nityananda Prabhu to go there, of course, Nityananda had also made an arrangement that Satchimata would come there. He sent Acharyaratna to go fetch her, and all the devotees of Nadia, they came. So, upon her arriving on a palanquin, she saw her darling Nimai for the first time without hair. The first time that she saw the greatest attachment in her life. She saw him without hair. He had taken sannyas. Her darling Nimai paid full dandavats to her, and she picked him up on her lap, crying, caressing him, kissing his face. Oh, my darling Nimai, oh, my darling Nimai, don't do what Vishwaroop did to me. Don't leave like he did to me. Vishwaroop took sannyas. I never saw him again. Are you going to do the same thing? Lord Chaitanya then spoke some beautifully eloquent words. The perfection of speaking to an attached mother. And of course, Mahaprabhu's name, one name is Matri Bhakta, the perfect devotee of one's mother. He said, this body comes from you. It's been raised by you. How could I ever forget you? Somehow or other, I took sannyas. I don't really know how it happened, but it happened. I'll never be indifferent to you. My sannyas will never be the cause of indifference to you. Even if I had countless births, I cannot repay my debt to you. These words are saturated with bhakti emotion. And I have found that even in ordinary relationships in the material world, those words have a powerful effect. I remember in 1978, I needed some Lakshmi to come to Mayapur. So I thought, how to motivate my dear mother to release some funds? Because she has the habit of sometimes sending checks, and due to her conceptions, due to her religious background, being a sort of a fundamentalist Christian, she writes on the checks for shoes or for clothes, not for Krishna. So I had to come up with some way how to get the funds to go to the Holy Dham. So I had a great idea. I just wrote the words recited by Lord Chaitanya to Satchimata. This body comes from you. I can never repay my debt to you. In countless births. Of course, she doesn't accept reincarnation, but anyway, it sounded really good. Somehow or other, I'm living a monk's life, but I'll never be indifferent to you. 1 week later, in the mail came a big check. Of course, in the relationship between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Satchimata, you see the spiritual perfection of relationship. The relationship was so intense in Vatsalya praying that when there would be kirtan and Lord Chaitanya would be feeling that transformation of the heart, and his heart would be melting in ecstasy, and during the kirtan sometimes he would fall on the ground. Shakyamata would pray that, she would pray to the Lord, if I have any pious activities, if I've done anything right since my childhood worship of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, please make it so that when Nimai crashes to the ground during the kirtan, he'll feel no pain. Her acceptance that her life was simply bound up with the happiness of her son could be seen, especially when other devotees wanted to cook for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the house of Advaita Acharya. And Shakyamata had already taken all the service. She had asserted that as long as Lord Chaitanya remained at the house of Advaita Acharya, she was going to do that service. Though Srivas and other devotees wanted to also prepare lunch for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees, of course, all said, whatever your desire, we'll accept. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about it, he was a little unsettled in his supreme transcendental way. He gathered the devotees around him and explained that, you all, I can't give you up. I can't give up all my associates. I wanted to go to Vrindavan. Nityananda tricked me. I accept the attachments. I accept the infinite depths of the relationships we have. At the same time, it's not proper for a sannyasi to remain in his home, his hometown, encircled by relatives. This is Lord Chaitanya's very discreet and tactful way of saying that perhaps the noose of Shakyamata's affection was getting a bit too tight in terms of how things could be perceived by the general public. Because Lord Chaitanya was very dedicated to strictly following the principles of sannyas, even though that strict following could cause pain to his followers, and when the followers felt pain because of his strict following, Lord Chaitanya would also feel pain. But still, he was concerned, how does this look? So he said, you present to Shakyamata, he told the devotees, present that there should be some way that I'm here and I'm gone at the same time. This is a very, very intense and very powerful situation that had to be adjusted. Perhaps you can think of when the Pandavas apprehended Ashwatthama and the whole paradox was how to kill him but not kill him. These perplexities, these paradoxes often come in Krishna consciousness, and they basically can only be resolved by divine intelligence. So Lord Chaitanya, he had the devotees put the ball in Shakyamata's court, so to speak. Present to her that I need to be here and I need to be away at the same time. I acknowledge attachment. I acknowledge relationships. I acknowledge affection. But at the same time, the proper standard has to be demonstrated. So when devotees presented the paradox to Shakyamata, she came up with this solution. Let him stay in Jagannath Puri. That's as good as being away, and at the same time he's here, because Navadvip and Jagannath Puri are like two rooms in the same house. People are constantly going back and forth between the two. I'll always get news of him. In that way, he won't be criticized. Shakyamata revealed her heart, that it would give me great happiness if Nimai was here all the time at home with me. Without a doubt, it would give me great happiness. At the same time, if others would criticize him, that would break my heart. That would be my unhappiness. Therefore, what is my conclusion? Whatever makes him happy, that is my own happiness. So let's do it in this way. Let's resolve this attachment situation. Let's resolve this affection situation in this way. We can see how in bhakti we fully face the reality of affection and relationships head on. We don't run away from those topics thinking that, oh, liberation, we want to get away from all this. We've had bad experiences with affection and relationships in the material world. So therefore, why in the world would such affection and relationships be the pinnacle, the ultimate goal of life? By hearing about Devahuti and Kapila Dev and Kardama Muni, we see such affection, such attachment, and indeed, Lord Kapila Dev enunciates the principle that attachment to the material is the cause of all disaster. Attachment to the spiritual, especially attachment to the devotee of the Lord, that leads to the greatest perfection. Another example of relationship, affection, attachment is when Pritchard Maharaj was about to leave this world, as described by Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sukadeva Goswami had finished his presentation, and now Pritchett was established in fearlessness as well as in pure love of Krishna. There was just a little time before his impending death by the monstrous snake bird, but Pritchett Maharaj had not the slightest fear. Although there was just such a short time left before death, his mother suddenly showed up. This is going to be the last time she could see her son. But actually, she was not motivated simply by bodily attachment. She knew that her son had just heard the glories of Lord Krishna from Shukadeva Goswami. So she was eager to get some synopsis from her son. She definitely had attachment for her son as her son, but Pritchett Maharaj easily dealt with that because Uttara is a great devotee of the Lord. Remember when Ashvatthama's Brahmastra was chasing her, to kill off Pritchett in the womb. Uttara appealed to the Lord, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagatpate, Lord of Lords, most powerful mystic yogi, I don't mind dying, but in my womb is this great devotee, Pritchett. Please preserve him. So she had some attachment for her son, but because she's a great devotee, her main attachment was to hear what Pritchett had heard from Shukadeva Goswami. But there wasn't much time left. Very quickly, Pritchett dealt with her maternal attachments. He explained to her the illusory nature of birth and death. He dispelled that maternal attachment very quickly, and then she was able to focus on him completely as a great devotee of the Lord. She asked him, please just give me a synopsis, give me a summary of what you've heard. And Pritchett Maharaj, with affection, replied to her that ordinarily, in these kind of circumstances, when you're just about to die, one should be silent, Mona Vrata. But you have asked me to glorify Krishna. How can I remain silent? I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to repeat the glories of the Lord that Shukadeva Goswami explained to me. All this is going on just basically a few moments before the snake bird is coming. This is the intensity of relationships in the proper sense. This is the intensity of proper affection. So therefore, Prichard Maharaj gave to his mother a intense summary of the glories that Shukadeva Goswami had explained to him. The more that we read Nectar Devotion, the more this relationship intensity becomes known to us. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada's instructions on reading Nectar Devotion. He said, whenever you come to some spot that you don't understand, in other words, that's going to be quite often, especially in the second part of Nectar Devotion, he says, don't come to me saying, Prabhupada, what is this? Prabhupada, what is that? You just serve. You engage in the Krishna conscious activities and gradually the realization will come to you. Just as Kapila Dev is giving his mother the greatest opportunity here. He's speaking about the exalted devotee's mind. He's pointing out where she should be going to. Similarly, this Krishna conscious worldwide network is always a great opportunity. And our devotees should always feel that there's no glass ceiling over their head. They can always rise higher and higher in selfless service to the Lord. We want to always feel that, as Prabhupada said, there's a great challenge awaiting us. And naturally, out of humility, we want to feel that if there's anyone to blame for our not taking up that challenge, it's always ourselves. In this verse, Lord Kapila Dev is echoing what Krishna speaks in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The topmost devotee instruction. Just fix your mind upon me, connect your intelligence to me, and that way you'll live always in me. Anyone who does that is not living in the material world. As we've heard in the purport, as soon as you make distinctions based on what's good for your material happiness, you are indeed in the material world. And as soon as you just go moment to moment making decisions what's best for Krishna's happiness, then you're in the spiritual world. Just that activity of discriminating based on what gives Krishna pleasure, that situates you beyond material existence. This is how the mind can work so miraculously for taking us back to Godhead. The same mind that causes so much trouble in material life, that same mind can be the most wonderful unit for invoking the spiritual world simply by the yogic process of looking at oneself and the world and thinking, how can myself and the world best be used for Krishna's pleasure? This is no sentimental thing. This is no religious beliefy kind of thing. This is the topmost yoga. And that vision of seeing the world as a vehicle for Krishna's service, that vision is inspired by the chanting of the holy name. As Srila Prabhupada explains in his short essay about chanting, when you properly take shelter of the holy name of Krishna, You see everything around you as diverse extensions of the Lord's energy. The Hare Krishna mantra empowers you with the vision to see service possibilities everywhere. That means, ultimately, you're going to see the spiritual world everywhere because you're seeing opportunities of service to Krishna everywhere. And service to Krishna means service to devotees. That's the most potent form of service to Krishna. Therefore, we're happy to hear about attachment to devotees. We're happy to hear about relationships with devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.